Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
And I believe my next guest is on the line. I'm going to be chatting to Fred Maroon. Fred has almost become a bit of a regular here on Chai FM. He's an interesting guy. He's a blogger for the Times of Israel, amongst other things. He happened to have been born in Lebanon. He's a Canadian citizen. He lives in Canada. And yet what I find so fascinating about Fred is his I don't want to call it outsiders, but his different perspective on the goings on in the Middle East. Fred Maroon, absolutely fantastic to be chatting to you again on Chai FM.
Hi, Simon. Great to speak with you, and Happy New Year.
Yeah, I forgot about that. It is a new year. It feels like it was months and months ago already.
Fred, yeah.
Before we get into the contents of your latest article, which we will unpack in some depth this afternoon, I just wanted to ask you on a personal level. You left the Middle East. You live a new life in Canada. What is it about this Middle East conflict that has its claws in you, that takes up so much of your time and, you know, articles, etc.? Why the connection?
It's a good question. For a while after I left Lebanon, I really didn't pay attention to what was going on in the Middle East. But a few years after I was here, I started, you know, paying attention to what was going on in Israel, because I felt that, you know, what was happening wasn't fair, that there should be peace between the Arabs and Israel. And I started informing myself more and more about the conflict.
Yeah, it's fascinating you did that, because a lesser person would have walked away. It almost seems like a battle that you can't win, whatever opinions you have. And let's see the reaction to your article. You wrote an article, say, a conflict dominated by trauma and the responsibility of outsiders. What were you trying to say in your latest article in the Times of Israel?
Well, I mean, a lot of people look at the conflict and purely from a policy point of view, in terms of, you know, what each side does, and try to logically figure out what is the best way to resolve it. And what I was trying to say in this article is that for people who live there, it's a lot more complicated than that.
Yeah.
They look at it as, you know, more from emotion than I think logically in a lot of cases. And I mean, that's not unusual. The same happens in lots of countries. I mean, we've seen in the United States, for example, a lot of people who voted for Donald Trump, and even a lot of people who voted for Joe Biden, did so because they disliked the other side than because they really were excited about their candidate. But, you know, in the Middle East, in particularly in Israel, Palestine, there is a lot of trauma on both sides. Israelis have been fighting wars for now, what, about 73, 74 years. You know, they have been sending their children to fight in wars. They have their children go to, but I say children, I mean, obviously, young adults who are in the IDF and who go to fight wars and who go to the West Bank to control terrorism, to ensure security and so on. And, you know, for the vast majority of Israelis that I talk to, they don't want to be, in wars. They don't want their children to go to fight in wars. What they want is to have peace, but they are extremely worried about security. Also, they have a huge emotional connection to the West Bank, which they call Judea and Samaria.
Yeah.
But on the other side, you also have a lot of trauma as well. I mean, from the Palestinian point of view, in 1947, 48, what they saw was, what they felt was their country, suddenly, you know, was being divided. They opposed the division, and then they lost. A lot of them lost their homes. They had to go live in other countries, or even in camps within, the West Bank or Gaza. They feel that, you know, they have no freedoms. They have to go through Israeli checkpoints to be able to go to work. They have to, they don't like their own governments, who is often very oppressive and very violent. So there's a lot of emotions on both sides. And often when, they look at what needs to be done, they look at it more in terms of through their trauma rather than logically.
It's fascinating,
so,
Fred.
That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Yeah. If you look at the last couple of Israeli elections, I mean, the only issue that used to be of any significance in Israeli politics was security, peace process, That is completely and utterly, the peace process is off the agenda. The last four or five elections, okay, they were all in one very short period of time. But I mean, the peace with the Palestinians was not even a small headline on the bottom of page three news.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, when I speak with Israelis about this, I say, well, what's the point? We've tried before and, you know, we tried to give them pretty much all of the West Bank and, they would have a state. They said no. So, all we got in return was, terrorism.
So,
now, of course, if you talk to the Palestinians, you hear a very different story, but still, so each side looks at it from their point of view. It's, they've been traumatized by the events, and they're not willing to compromise. They feel that if they do any concessions, it's going to be seen by the other side as a victory.
Yeah, zero-sum game. No, I completely hear you and understand. That's why we've got to this impasse. But how do we break this impasse?
Well, I think what I was saying in the article is that what really needs to happen is that both sides need to talk to each other. There's a lot of a lack of trust on both sides. You know, the Israelis will say, well, I mean, why would I engage in any kind of peace negotiations when, you know, there are lots of terrorists on the other side and they control things. And on the Palestinian side, they say, well, Israelis have taken 70% of the land in 1948 and now they're building settlements in a lot of the remaining parts. So they've left almost nothing for us. Why should we trust them? But I think it's really important that both sides see each other's point of view, and see each other as human beings who have suffered. Of course, there are people on both sides who should not be trusted. But on the whole, I think that the majority on both sides are people who just want to live normal lives, but they just haven't got to the point where they can trust each other. And from the point of view of outsiders like myself, I think it's very important that we don't judge too harshly either side and, you know, and make one side to be an angel and the other one to be a demon. I think it's really important that we encourage them to talk to each other. That in the end, the solution is going to have to come from them. Whatever it is that they come up with, they're going to have to be able to live with it.
Fred Maroon, thank you as always for talking to us on Chai FM. Lots of food for thought this afternoon.
Thank you, Simon. It was great talking to you again.